You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. Today's topic revolves around the number one best-selling book of all time, the Word of God, of course talking about the Bible. And to do so, I have two special guests in studio with me to talk about the Museum of the Bible. The first is Michael McAfee, who is Director of Bible Engagement at the Museum of Bible and who also serves as minister at Council Road Baptist Church in their young adult ministry. And his wife, his lovely wife, Lauren Green McAfee, also joins us, and she is Director of Community Engagement for the Museum of the Bible. Welcome, y'all.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we're real excited about the Museum of the Bible, and I thought I could start out by asking the basic question, in case someone's not heard of it, what is it? And tell us a little bit about the whole project.
Yeah, absolutely. So Museum of the Bible is a museum that's being installed right now in Washington, D.C. It is set to open in November of 2017. It is going to be a massive museum just off of the National Mall. And so we've got a great space just a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol. And we are putting in, it's going to be 430,000 square feet, 8 floors. And so I like to say on average, if you can imagine, each floor is about the size of Hobby Lobby store. And it will tell the story of the history, the narrative, and the impact that the Bible's had on our world. As you mentioned, it's the greatest, the best-selling book of all time. It's had the greatest impact of any book in the history of the world. And so we want to celebrate that with the museum. And then as well, we have other initiatives that kind of launch off of that Bible museum. So, but that's the big project, is the DC Museum.
That's outstanding. Now, this Bible collection is not something that can happen overnight. I thought, Lauren, you could tell us maybe how God brought it all together, and you, being part of the Green family, would be able to tell us the story of how it all came together in the first place.
Yeah, well, my family has definitely had a love for the Bible for generations, really. And so so it wasn't that abnormal for us to be interested in a Bible-related project. So the idea first came whenever some people approach us about possibly getting involved in artifacts and museum. And so my family started buying biblical artifacts November of 2009, so not even 6 years ago. And we kept having incredible offers become available to us, and we just kept buying. And soon enough, we had one of the largest private collections in the world. And so we had the vision for the museum to kind of be one of the end goals of what we wanted to do with this collection. And as we continued to grow this collection in such a short time, we felt that we wanted to steward it well. And so different opportunities continued to come available. We started the Green Scholars Initiative. So we had making these items available to scholars for research. We also do traveling exhibits, wanting to share that with the world while we're waiting to open this museum in D.C. And then we also have a number of educational projects that we are taking on as well. So 40,000 objects came together pretty quickly, and just it was just the beginning of all the fun that we have with the museum and all these other projects coming about.
Wow, 40,000, that's amazing. And people think about, you know, they hear about a Bible collection, they might think of the family Bible that's been around since 1912. No, this is truly historic and sacred texts that have been preserved, and God really brought it about in a miraculous way. Are there some items that people might be familiar with or could recognize with that are distinctive to the collection?
Yeah, some of the particular items that might can't be fairly recognizable are Dead Sea Scroll fragments. I think a lot of people have heard of those. We have a number of fragments in our collection. Also, we have portions of the Gutenberg Bible, which is obviously a really significant piece of history. We also have just a number of incredible manuscripts and Torah scrolls, things relating to the Jewish heritage and culture of preserving and writing the Word, as well as modern things, you know, the first complete Bible printed in America, the first Bible translated into an Indian language in America, and just anything in between. We also have Elvis's Bible, and Babe Ruth's Bible, Fun pop culture-y type things like that that can draw people's interest.
That's too cool. Well, I remember touring the Passages exhibit when it was, of course, here in Oklahoma, and I know you all have toured the world. But stepping back a little bit, Michael, why would it be so important to focus on the Bible, to educate the public at large, and what is the strategic thinking with somewhere like D.C.?
Yeah, well, so with D.C., we did a major study to find where would the museum be best attended. And so we looked specifically at Dallas, New York City, and Washington, D.C., really expecting that Dallas would probably be where we ended up. And the results came back overwhelming that in D.C., there was a tremendous draw to attend or to go see the National Bible Museum. And that was it was incredibly encouraging at the time because the research group had never seen such strong results. They actually had to kind of second check themselves and make sure. But it was well over 80% of people that said they would love to go see a museum dedicated to the Bible. And so the strategy simply is to help a culture and a generation that is very biblically illiterate, the most biblically illiterate in the history of America, to give an opportunity to engage with the Bible in a different way, in a more unique way than maybe what they're used to. And so one of our floors, for instance, in the museum is just going to be a walkthrough of the narrative of Scripture because most people just don't know the story. They just don't know the story of the narrative from Genesis to Revelation. And so we want to give that as best that we can. And so we obviously loved the idea of putting it in D.C. in the heart of the nation's capital, and there's such a great heritage and history of our founders founding our nation on the Word of God and being able to share that story and tell that story when it's often not told in the history books for sake of trying to separate the church and the state. And so we are very excited for the chance that we have to tell that in D.C.
I think that's fantastic, and I think that will be really an ideal location. You know, here on the table where we're having this interview, I have a copy of the Scripture, and it's actually in a version around the King James English. And so often we think that the Bible fell out of the sky, red-letter edition, bound, chapters and verses already organized, some commentaries as well. But there was a lot of prayer and sweat and sacrifice that went into the bringing about of Scripture and God divinely inspiring it. So how's the timing look? What ways can people get involved on this project?
Yeah, so for the museum itself, it'll be a couple years. November 2017 is kind of our projected opening date. And so there are a ton of ways to get involved. So as you mentioned, we have traveling exhibits that go all over. It was here in Oklahoma City for a time and is now in Southern California. But we also, Lauren and I's job is to connect with local churches and different Bible colleges and conferences and things like that, and simply to help speak, both to be able to share the vision of the museum, but also to just share with people that love the Bible why they can trust it. I mean, as you mentioned, the fact that there's been so much sacrifice to get from Torah scrolls with our ancient Jewish pre-Christian faith brothers and sisters to what we have now today where we can download the Bible on our iPhone in a second. There's so much that we can see of how we can value and cherish the Word of God that's been preserved and passed to us to be able to give us. The average American family owns three or more Bibles in their home, you know, and that would have been unheard of just a few hundred years ago. And so, but also to show some of the evidence that people of faith can have in the Bible, that it's been passed on accurately and faithfully, despite what some of the pop culture, skeptics would say. And so we want to tell those stories and share those stories, invite people that if they would like to get involved to do that with us, both through prayer support and financial support, whatever way's appropriate for them.
Is there a website where people could go?
Yeah, mbible.org or museumofthebible.org, and then specifically churches, our kind of landing page is mbible.org/church.
Great. Well, I was hoping each one of you could talk about something you hope to see or some encouragement you've had as you've taken this journey, maybe a story or maybe just something special to you about this whole project. And Lauren, I'll pick on you first if I could, because you've been, you know, from the ground floor. You've been part of really the plans and now seeing it come about. What, talk about that a moment.
Yeah. So getting to be a part of this whole process has really, I mean, it has transformed and shaped some of my understanding of the Bible even further than, you know, I grew up being around the Bible and I'm definitely involved in the Bible daily. And getting to see these artifacts in person and work with them and see these pieces of history that you know, this is a book that has an incredible story, and it is a story that should be told. It deserves to be told. This book has impacted lives. It's impacted countries. It's impacted so many areas in the world, and sometimes we don't even realize it. So if we can help people raise their understanding and awareness of this book so that, you know, they can be reading it for themselves and see how it can impact their lives and impact what they do in everyday life, that's what I'd love to see, because I know it's had such an impact on me, and it's just an incredible book.
Amen. Michael?
Yeah, last year I was full-time at Council Road, serving with young adults, and part-time at the museum, and I got the chance we took some of these items to First Baptist Church Owosso. Chris Wall was my youth pastor growing up and allowed me to come and kind of trial in his congregation our presentation of why we can trust Scripture. And I remember afterwards there was a kind of the line of people that were coming up and looking at these items, and there was one lady in particular who had been attending the church for a while and just had a lot of questions, had a lot of doubts, and seeing the evidence for the Bible for herself through counseling, through talking to a pastor kind of afterwards, she was able to take that next step in believing. I mean, there was a difference in her tone in the conversation. It answered a lot of questions, and it was my favorite story, because it kind of made me realize, oh, this could be a ministry that that serves churches and serves people. And so to get to see someone that came in kind of skeptical towards Scripture walk out and because of God, but God using this collection to draw her to Himself and to show her that there's reason to believe in His Word and trust in Him was by far my favorite experience that I've had so far with the collection.
That's awesome. I'll add one experience of my own. You know, being reflecting back when I was growing up and thinking about my faith, I had come to Christ as a child, but was challenged at several points in my latter high school years and going into college. And you have these presuppositions about the Bible that to find out that it is verifiable, to find out that it is grounded in history and archaeology, that it can be trusted, that it doesn't just move at an experiential level, but it speaks across the ages, was so important to me. And going to a secular university like I did, it bolstered my faith, and I was able to confidently contend for the Scripture. And so I think that's an exciting hope for each one of you, and just so excited you're getting to work together on this project. That's just so neat to me.
We are too. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, give us the website one more time, and just tell us a couple more things that we can look forward to, or how we can stay connected to the ministry.
Yeah, museumofthebible.org/church is where you can get connected to us. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, Museum of Bible, or our Facebook page, which is Museum of the Bible. Lauren and I are supposed to, we're kind of being some of the voices, the megaphones, and so our handles are just Michael McAfee and Lauren A. McAfee, and would be happy to engage and interact with anyone that wants to get involved on a deeper letter. We have a newsletter that goes out to kind of keep people updated if they're interested, and we even have a giveaway that is 2 years out, but you can sign up for a drawing, a sweepstakes, to be flown out and experience the opening of the museum. So those are some ways people can stay connected to what we're doing, but would covet your prayers. It's a tremendously large project, bigger than our family and bigger than any organization should take on, but we, for the glory of God and by His grace, are trying.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I would encourage everyone listening to this to check out the website, stay current on what's happening with the Museum of the Bible. We've been talking to Michael and Lauren McAfee, who are directors of Bible Engagement. Michael is, and Lauren is Director of Community Engagement for the Museum of the Bible. Check them out online. Be praying for them, and look for ways you can get involved individually and with your church. Thank y'all for coming on again,
and
I would love to stay connected to the progress as we get closer to that launch date.
That sounds great.
Absolutely.
Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.